Genesis. We're going to continue to walk in the footsteps of faith with a man by the name of Abraham. Of course, his name hasn't been changed yet. He's still Abram. But in Genesis chapter 12, we see a new direction to this man's life. Few men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ have had such an impact on history as the history of the world as the man that we're looking at now. Abram is revered by Christianity, by Islam, and by Judaism. Very few men could claim that. His life is an example of faith. And we see through the life of Abraham, as Brother Wade just saying, God is always faithful to him. Even in the passage we're going to cover today when Abram wasn't faithful to God. Probably the section that we're going to look at today is what could be called the saddest event, though I don't know for sure. It may be. There's two events in Abram's life that really defined his turning away from God, but this right here is really the beginning of one of those episodes. This is a sad episode in his life. We see him making a decision that will bring tremendous trouble into his life and literally into ours as well. Our text tells us that during the time of famine in Canaan, Abram took his family and he moved them to the land of Egypt. He said, well, that's not such a big deal. Yes, it is. As God had specifically told him to stay in Canaan. Yet whenever a tough time came, he moved out of the will of God. Now, in the Bible, Egypt is always a picture and a type of the world. So when the saint of God moves from Canaan, the promised land, the prepared place, the perfect will of God, and they go out into Egypt, a type of the world, it's never a good thing. It was there in Egypt that the children of Israel later held in bondage by Pharaoh for over 400 years. And even whenever God delivered them by an unbelievable power, they still longed to go back to it. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, says the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, where we did eat bread to the full, for he brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They said, we would rather be back in Egypt. Can I tell you something? I believe that's just like us sometimes. Regardless of how the Lord blesses, regardless of what God does in our lives is great and wonderful, there's always a part of us that still looks back. There's always a part of us, if we're not careful, we'll go back into Egypt. We'll turn away from the blessings of God and the things of God. And we'll go back to the world that we should have left behind. The old life. Abram pulls up his tent, his temporary dwelling place, and he leaves some things. He leaves the altars that God had caused him to build. He left the land where God had begun to bless him, and he began to make a trip down into the world. There are some truths that I want to look at today that I think are important. Verse number 10 is where we're going to start today. Let's read a few verses. And the Bible says there was a famine in the land. Famine. Huh. I'm amazed sometimes at what causes us to begin to move away from our fellowship with God. Famine. Problem. Difficulties. Test. Trials. There's a famine in the land. And Abram, notice this phrase, went down. For the believer that's living where God wants him to live at, to move to any other place is always down. Always down. He went down into Egypt to sojourn there, to dwell there. He thought in his mind temporarily. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He's flattering his wife. And you're beautiful. She should have known something was about to happen. Amen. He's flattering her. Boy, you're beautiful. You're a good-looking woman. And he says, and it came to pass, I'm sorry, and verse number 12, it says, therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So Abram constructs a plan. He says, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. First point, I have four today, not my normal three, four. Number one, the truth about the path out of the will of God. Number one, is always a downward path. Always. It's down because it's easy to slide that away. Easy to slip going downhill. When a believer leaves Canaan, the place of victory and the place of blessing, to go to Egypt, the world, it always leads down. I was thinking about this last week. Who's a good example of this? And I got to thinking, Jonah. Jonah's right where God wanted him to be. He said, I want you to preach there in Nineveh. I want you to preach against what all is going on. But Jonah rose. And he said, I'm not going there. The Bible says, Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can I say this today? There's nowhere you can go to run from the presence of God. If God is convicting you, if God is working in your life, you can't hide anywhere so that God can't find you. Jonah flees. And the Bible says he went there to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then it says this, he went down to Joppa. That wasn't as far down as he went. Because in a little while, he got on the ship, and the winds began to blow, and all of that, and those veteran sea merchants were scared to death. And they began to say, something's happening, the gods of the sea are against us. What are we going to do? And somebody said, let's make a sacrifice. We need somebody to throw overboard. Jonah volunteered. He said, I'm the man. I'm the reason. Jonah's ready to commit suicide to not do what God had wanted him to do. They threw him out, down into the water. He went down into the mouth of the whale, down into the belly of the whale, and down into the depths of the sea. He had to get so far down before he finally realized, I don't like it here. Well, who would? Can you imagine being in the belly of a whale? I can't. I don't like fish at all, from the inside or the outside. But you know what happens whenever you run down and away from God? Once you and I begin to go on that downward path, here's the truth. We do not decide where it ends. God does. It led him on a downward path. It led him down from the land of promise. The land of Canaan represented God's best for Abram. Canaan was the land where he was supposed to be. Can I say this today? There is no more perfect or precious place than the place that God wants you to be. You say, well, it's not. It's where God wants you to be. You say, well, I don't like this marriage. I don't like this job. If it's where God wants you to be, then you remain there because that's the place of blessing in your life until God moves you someplace else. He says, not. The Apostle Paul says, he said, I don't speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. You say, what is all that leading to? It's leading to the next verse. He says, for I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You're here today and you say, I just don't think I can remain in this situation. I don't think I can remain. let God lead you and not you lead you. Because you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It led him down from the land of promise. It led him down the land of preparation. Can I say this today? The famine in Canaan was not a punishment for sin, but it was a test of faith. The thing that you have that happened in your life that you say, oh, this is horrible, it's unbelievable, I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe God is punishing me. He may not be punishing you. He may be testing you to see if you're going to trust Him in that situation. Maybe your famine is a health issue, or a financial issue, or a family issue, or a faith issue. I don't know what it is, but first and foremost, take it as a test of faith. If it's a punishment for sin, then confess the sin and God will take care of it. Abram was supposed to choose the uncertainty of Canaan over the abundance of Egypt. He is supposed to trust God. He failed. The great test is to submit to God's will and to trust in the provision of God. It's a great test. The Bible says, James said it, he said a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Have you ever known people that go from job to job to job to job? They never, everybody there is mean to them, or school to school to school to school, church to church to church. After a while, you got to look at them and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with the last 42 churches you were in. Amen. Maybe it's you. Amen. Maybe it's simply that you're not trusting God where you're at. And I find people today that jump from marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage. Listen, God will always provide a way that you can learn to trust Him. Here's a great verse. I should put it on the screen, but I didn't. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you. The word temptation there could mean a temptation to sin, or it could also mean a test of your faith. There hath no temptation taken you, but to such as common to man. But God is able. God is faithful. He will not suffer. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear. What was Abram's way of escape? Not Egypt. Is to simply remain and trust God. Sometimes the option is not run. The option is remain. It led him down from the land of provision. The best place is always where God places you, even if it's difficult. There are no non-difficult places. There are no places that you can go that your faith will not be tested. Whenever we begin to leave the place of blessing and victory and make that trek to go into the world, is always a downward path. Number two, we'll see in the life of Abram, it's always a dishonest path. In verse number 11, he looked at his wife and he says, you're so beautiful. Abram right here, you know what he did? He birthed, or he began a lie. It's a sad day whenever a believer turns away from truth to embrace a lie. We've all seen it. We've probably even done it ourselves time or two. That's a sad day. This may be the saddest day in the life of Abram. Here it is preserved in the Word of God for us. You say, why? Because we can learn from his mistakes. I think we've all had those times in our lives where we've birthed a lie in our hearts just to justify what we do and allow it in our lives. Well, have you ever said, well, it's not so bad. This won't harm me like it will. Not only did Abram begin the lie, but he became the lie. See, the dishonest path will cause you to begin to become that lie that you're telling yourself. Look at verse number 12. He says, therefore shall it come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. One lie leads to another. And what happened now is Abram began to believe the lie. He began to believe it. He came to believe the lie that he had fabricated. He says, hey, when the Egyptians see that, they're going to kill me and they're going to take you. He began to believe that. No such thing happened. It probably wasn't going to happen. Abram now is worried about something that could never happen. You say, why? Hold your finger here. Go with me to verse number 2 of Genesis 12. Ready? I will make of thee a great nation, and I will make thee and thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here's the truth. You guys ready? This is a great, undeniable Hobsonology truth. God could not fulfill that promise if Pharaoh killed Abram. You know what Abram forgot? Same thing you and I forget whenever we begin to take that downward path. We begin to forget the promises of God. And all God's people said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a promise? I'm so alone, nobody cares. That's a lie. And we begin to believe that. And before we know it, we become that. He came to believe the lie he had fabricated more than the truth he'd received from God. Boy, it's a sad day when we get to that place. Peter fell. Because he believed his lies more than the promise of God. He said, I would never. Lie. And he failed. Whenever we begin to take the path into the world, whenever we begin to take the path away from the will of God, it's always a downward path. It's always a dishonest path. And then number 3, it's always a disastrous path. Disaster. Let's read on with the story. Verse number 14. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she is very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Abram's sin is now on a disastrous path, because here's what is about to happen. There is now, whenever the believer goes into the world, begins to stray away from the will of God for their life, there's a potential that others will fall. There's a potential that will cause others to fall. I remember reading this quote years ago. Gandhi, which was the guru of many of the New Age movements of years ago, he said the reason he never became a Christian was because of Christians. Whenever you and I are away from God, we have no idea who we influence negatively. Abram's sin brought God's judgment. Notice what happens then. It says in verse number 16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. So Pharaoh gave, all right? He gave gifts for her. And he had sheep and oxen, he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. Well, it's all good. There are profits in it. The Bible tells us that Abram left Egypt with more than he'd taken into it. But it wasn't a good thing. Because there's something that's hidden in this passage that I think we miss until we read later on in the life of Abram. Abram went down to Egypt. He told his wife, he says, I want you to know, for a 69-year-old, you're holding on to your looks pretty good. Hubba hubba. Pharaoh's going to see you and he's going to want to kill me, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to lie. I don't want you to let Pharaoh take you into his harem to save me. What? Have you ever gotten away from God and all of a sudden one day wondered how you got so far? Surely Abram couldn't imagine he would do this. So Pharaoh takes his wife. He didn't know it's his wife. Thought it was just his sister. Thought she was available. An available 69-year-old. Looks good. So he takes her. Trades her. Donkeys. Mules. Other animals. Quite a prize. Maid servants. Huh. You know there's one maidservant that came in that would always plague Abram? Her name is Hagar. Sometimes you don't know what you're getting whenever you get away from God. It's always a disastrous path. Always a dishonest path, and it's always a downward path. And then number four, it's always a disappointing path. Abram is a father of faith. He's called the friend of God. Yet we have this story in his life that you can't see faith or the friend of God in it. But remember this. Even when he's not faithful, God is still faithful. But there's some after effects that are going on. Look at it, verse number 18 now. Oh, verse number 17. The Bible says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. I don't know what the plagues were, but apparently they were pretty bad. You know, later on, God plagues the Pharaohs with the frogs and the boils and the locust and you name it. The Bible never tells us what these plagues are, but there is something that God sends. And in verse number 18, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to meet a wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. You know what he's saying? Get out of my sight. It's a disappointing path. You know why? Because it always forfeits your testimony. Abram's testimony is forever ruined in Egypt. The world may not remember your good testimony, but they'll remember your fallen testimony. He says, well, how do I know that? Okay. Whenever we mention the name of Peter, which event do you remember? The preaching of Peter at Pentecost or the fall of Peter? When we mention King David, the greatest king of the nation of Israel, what's the first thing that comes in your mind whenever he recovers the ark of the Lord and comes in dancing before the people and God, or his sin with Bathsheba? Whenever you and I go down into Egypt, whenever you and I get out of the path of God, it's always a disappointing path. We'll never get what we want. And it'll forfeit our testimony. Here's what one writer said this. He literally was kicked out of the world by the world. The world said, Pharaoh said, we don't want nothing to do with you. You take your wife, you take your sheep, you take your goats, you take your oxen, you take your men servants, you take your, and you take yourself and you get out of our country. You're a horrible person. It's always a disappointing path because of the testimony that it forfeits, but also because of the things that it forgets. You know what we read about in this passage? The things that we don't read in here. You know what Abram didn't build when he was in Egypt? Well, now, we don't know how long he was there. But up to this point, everywhere that Abram stopped, what did he build? An altar. You know what he forgot to do when he was in Egypt? Build an altar. I think the reason why he didn't offer sacrifices and he didn't lift up prayers is he had totally left God out of all that he was doing. He may have given God lip service, but here's the truth. When a child of God begins to go into the world, they begin to live like the world and they begin to look like the world. And they begin to act like the world, and they begin to do the things that the world does. You see, no man can serve two masters. The Bible says either he'll hate the one and love the other, or vice versa. It's a disappointing path because it brings tragedy. Instead of bringing the light of the one true God into the darkness of Egypt, Abram only brought more darkness. He was supposed to be salt and light, but he was neither. Verse number 20. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. It's always a tragedy when believers leave the world worse off than it was when they found it. I wonder who's going to be in hell because of my testimony. Can I say something? This Pharaoh would have never listened to Abram's testimony now. Can you imagine what Sarai thought about Abraham for years to come? Do you realize that Abram literally sold his wife into sexual slavery, possibly, to protect his own self? You say, how would a man get that far? How could a man? Begins with one step. The truth about the path to Egypt are these. It's always a downward path. It's always a dishonest path. Because you'll tell yourself a lie. Well, it's okay. This is better for me. This is better for my family. I've heard that through the years. Well, preacher, we're involved in this activity on Sunday mornings now because this is better for our family than... No, it's not. Because I've been here long enough now that I can name family after family after family after family after family. Person after person after person after person that once sat in these pews, that once came and prayed at this altar, that once sang and worshiped God, now they're living in the world. And they're no different than the world. And they're saying this, they've told themselves a lie. Well, I'm doing this. I'm working on Sunday mornings because this is better for you. Fill in the blank. We're going to this sporting event on Sunday mornings because it's better for. And I promise you, what it does is it ruins everything. We're losing an entire generation because somewhere along the line, God's people quit being faithful to God. If my children or my grandchildren are just as spiritual as I am, how spiritual will that be? God help us. There'll be a famine in our life, I promise you. There'll be a time of testing and we'll have a choice. It'll be finances, physical problems, marital problems, spiritual problems. I don't know, but the answer is this. Never go to Egypt. Never. Never go to Egypt. As a believer, that's what you came out of. I've been saved from that. Why would I want to go back to the hog pen? Even starving where God has me at is better than what the world can feed me with. All it takes, last line, to get to Egypt is a little compromise here and there. And before you know it, you're miles, miles away from God. You say, "What? How do I remedy that? Come home. Come home. Pitch your tent back in Canaan. Build an altar. And live for Jesus like He saved you to do. As you begin to do that, not only will you get out of Egypt, but God will begin to get Egypt out of you. And I desperately need for Egypt to be out of me. There's a pull, there's an allure, but you know what? I think I'm just going to keep my tent in Canaan. Amen? I think I'm just going to stay right here where God wants me to stay. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. You don't have to live all your life in sin. You can come to Jesus today and He can cleanse you. Make you new right now. Maybe you're a Christian today. You say, you know what, I've kind of got called up in some things. Well, time to get uncalled. It's easy enough. Here's what you do. Father, forgive me. I've sinned. And I don't want to do that anymore. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And all God's people said, amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Right? Canaan was always there. God was always there. God was always faithful. And we'll see that next week. Even when Abram went down into Egypt, God remained faithful. You can never hide from God. You can never get so far that God can't work a miracle in your life. Amen? Been there, done that, and so have several of you in this room, and all God's people said. Not only have I been born again, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been brought back into the family of God more than one time because I got away from God. Sometimes you guys didn't even know it. It was in my heart. I tremble at the thought of having to give an account to God one day for the times I was not spiritually prepared to do this. I tremble at who sat here looking and seeking something. And there was an impure fountain that was giving it out. Oh God, help us to be holy people. Right, we need to build some new altars and just say, okay, God, I'm ready to worship you again and to live for you today. I can see disaster. I sense dishonesty. I want to be where you want me to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.